Okay, right. I have a question for you all. How many of you have been to like a Christian festival? Like, oh, blimey, we've got everyone. Even like Letton Hall. Letton Hall counts. Like a festival, meetup. Perfect. And there's lots of things all of these things all have in common. One of the main things that you'll find at every single one of them is a seminar. Does everyone know what a seminar is? Yeah. Cool. So in these seminars, people talk about different things. They may talk about a particular topic or a particular Bible story or whatever. And in a very common thing that people talk about in testimonies in seminars is their testimony. And I don't know about you, but whenever I go to a Christian festival, I always pick the one with a testimony because I find them really interesting. I could sit and listen to someone talk about their testimony for ages. Often they're big, extravagant stories about how this person has gone from living a life not only without God, but maybe that God would disapprove of, or one that's really strong against faith, to one that's like crazy on fire for God. We hear about these stories in the Bible. We hear about them at these festivals. We hear about them everywhere. These stories from going from not being on fire to God for being absolutely on fire for God. And I just want to tell you that's not always the case. For me, definitely, I would say that my testimony has not at all been like that. I grew up Christian. I think there's a photo of me growing up, just to, so you can visualize that I don't look the same as I did then. There you go. Oh, Sam changed it. yeah, that is me on my first day of primary school at a Christian school. I'm embarrassing myself, but... William Law! Way! There's a few of us, there's a few of us. So yeah, I grew up Christian. I've got no crazy life-changing transformation testimony filled with extravagant stories, but it's still a testimony. So yeah, I grew up Christian. And then I'd say my testimony in faith really started going from that jump from year 6 to year 7. Lots of you have done that and are in the process of starting year 7 and starting secondary school and getting immersed in that. That was definitely where it started. I found that jump really difficult. I really struggled with that jump. I found that I constantly missed my primary school. And I struggled with friendships in year 7. And so I really found it difficult, that jump between. I constantly was missing and wishing I was back at my primary school. Maybe that's something you can relate to, wishing you were back in a previous stage of your life. But I remember really vividly a group of us. Do anyone know Connect? Come to Connect. It's a Warrington Parish thing. Yeah. So we meet every month in the evening. And I remember vividly that Connect service before we all moved into secondary school. And one of the people in the church got us all together. Dan would have been there because we're all the same age. And I remember us praying together with our mums, how cute, all together about this jump that we were about to do and just praying that God would really be there in that move to secondary school. And I found secondary school difficult. I definitely questioned that. Hang on, where is God in this jump? Because it was definitely difficult. But also in year 7, I started coming to Crops and I really found that helped. And nurturing, I had really good Christian friendships here. So when sometimes school was a bit all over the place, I had really good Christian friends here. And then, obviously, God nurtured those friendships. And going into COVID, that definitely... I wasn't at school anymore during COVID. So I was in about year 10, 11 during COVID. And that was when God really nurtured those church friendships. I think there's some photos of us. Here we are. This was our big group of friends during COVID. We used to meet up when we could, I promise. We followed all the rules. But this is us, the one in the middle. All of them are outside because you can meet inside. I think we're about 8. You can't really meet more than that. But yeah, we used to go swimming up in Glinton. Pretty grim, but we found it great fun. And then, yeah, we had a little Bible group, which is this on the left. We used to meet in Cassie's garden and have a little Bible group of girls there, which was great fun. And I really found that those friendships that God nurtured during COVID, when I was really struggling with friendships at school, I didn't have contact with really anyone from school in COVID, that God really nurtured those church friendships. So when I went back to school, I went into sixth form at King's, and I really found that because God had nurtured those Christian friendships so much during COVID, that I was able to really go into that like whole friendship thing with a new vision, a new view, and refreshed from after COVID and being with all my other friends. So I was able to really make sure that I was investing in the right friendships, investing in good friendships. Before, a lot of you can probably relate to this, a lot of my friendships had a lot of underlying academic competition about, are you doing this, are you doing that, are you wearing this, are you wearing that? So going into sixth form, I was like, right, no, I can see what a good friendship is. I've got these good friends here. I need to go in with that into sixth form. And so I kind of, whole new group of friends going into sixth form, which was definitely good for me. But one friend in particular, not a Christian at all, that's not a bad thing, but she is not a Christian at all. But I was able to go into that friendship, revived and strong in my faith because of all these great friends. And I was able to show God's love to her and be a good friend to her. And she was a great friend back. I remember for the first time, it was my first few weeks of my year 12, being in a class and we got grades back from our teachers. And I'd done well. I thought I hadn't done great because I'd been in a friendship group where everyone was stupid but clever. But I'd done great. And this friend, she was sat in front of me. She was like, "Oh, Hannah, what did you get?" I was like, "Oh, I got this." She was like, "Oh, I got this." And it was one grade lower than mine. But she was over the moon for me. I was like, "Hang on a minute." She was so genuinely pleased that I'd like done well. I think she was like, "Oh, well, maybe I'll have to read yours sometime, but you've done so great." And that's the first time I was like, "Hang on a minute, this doesn't need to be a competition. This can be a, she is so happy that I'm doing well, and I can be happy in return." And knowing that that's what I could have in a friendship at school, someone who was equally as proud for me and glad for me, and I could be the same back, and it didn't have to be this underlying competition and underlying kind of really big judgment and stuff like that. So that definitely really helped. And constantly remaining close to God when we went back into the ordinary, into sick form, and praying and staying close and really pursuing that so that I could be, that I could show God's love to these other friends at school, definitely helped. And now, obviously, I'm at uni. And prayer has been a massive part of uni, more than I thought it would be. So I'm part of the Christian Union, and I've got a church there. And prayer is such like the forefront of everything we do. In CU, we start every meeting by getting into groups and praying about what's going on in the world, what's going on in Christian unions, what's going on in universities, what's going on in our university. Every week we're praying. And then I've also got on a Thursday evening, I meet with a group of girls from my church, and we pray, we eat, and we chat. But prayer is, again, at the forefront of that. So that's what I want to really bring to you tonight. Prayer has been such a consistent thing. It's a conversation with God. It's developing that relationship. And it's been such a consistent thing for me. And it's such a consistent thing in my life now at university. That I want to challenge you to make it a consistent part of your life. So prayer has been so important to me. And I want to challenge you tonight to be thinking about prayer. Are you praying? How much are you praying? What can you bring to God? How can you develop your faith? So obviously the next question is, well, how do we start that? How do we pray? And so obviously Jesus tells us in the Bible, but I picked a little passage. Oh, this is me at university, I've got to say. I'm now at university. This is me there. That's where I study, in the middle. Not in the big building, that's a museum, but in the background somewhere. And then they're my Christian Union friends. We had a Christian Union ball. It was very fun. Did a ceilidh. If any of you know what that is, a Scottish dance. And then, yeah, these are my friends. Cool, next slide. Got Bible verse. Thank you. Right, I'm going to get out of here and read it. Perfect. If any of you have a Bible, get it out. I don't know if anyone does, but if you do, whip it out. If not, it is right up there on the screen. So, gosh, this is a tiny Bible. I have a huge one, but I left it at uni. Okay, so this is in Luke 11, chapter 1 to 10. Teaching about prayer. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Just as John taught his disciples, Jesus said, "This is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food that we need, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation." Then, teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You said to him, "A friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat." And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, "Don't bother me. The door is locked for the night, and my family and I are in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." So this is found in Luke's gospel, and this is the disciples asking Jesus how to pray. Now, I don't know how much you know about disciples, but they were Jewish men. They were once Jewish boys, which meant that they would be praying 3 times a day, They had structured prayer at 3 times a day. So these men knew how to pray. They knew how to say these structured prayers in the morning, in the middle of the day, and in the afternoon. They were doing them consistently, day after day after day. So why then are they coming to Jesus and saying, Lord, teach us how to pray? It's almost a silly question, because they knew how to pray. They were praying a lot. So what is it? What are they asking Jesus? Because they're not really asking how to pray, because they know that. They're asking, Lord, teach us to pray like you. We wanna pray like you. They see that Jesus, and you can see this throughout Luke's gospel, constantly goes and spends time with God. You can see this all, if you know, Garden of Gethsemane, he goes off and he just spends time with God. The gospels are full of Jesus just going off and spending time with God. And the disciples can see so clearly that by going off and that he's in such close relationship with God, that means he is able to preach like he preaches, do miracles like he does, and perform the things he does. And they see that has a direct correlation, and that he is only able to do all these things because he spends so much time with God. So they're not asking Jesus how to pray. They're asking Jesus how to pray like him. They're saying, we want to do what you do. Teach us. So they want to be able to live like God, and Jesus tells them how to do that. And so we're going to look at prayer again together today, because we too can pray like Jesus. And we too can pray like he says to pray. So I'd encourage you to think of prayer as like a practice. It's like a dedication of setting aside time. That's all it is, setting aside time. So I'm going to go through when, why, who, what. So when are we praying? Why are we praying? Who are we praying to? And what are we praying about? So to start, when are we praying? It tells us throughout the Bible to pray consistently. It says in the Bible passage that I just read on the screen that keep asking, keep praying, and it will be given unto you. And then, why are we praying? We were made to be in relationship with God, so we're praying to continue and to nurture that relationship with God and get to know him better, so that we may perform how Jesus did, that we may live more like Jesus did. And then, who are we praying to? This one's an interesting one, because it says we're praying to the Father. That's how everyone views God, but it's not the kind of father that we may associate with on earth. It's not talking about a father figure like you might have a father or a parent or someone who looks after you. It's talking about someone who, well, the word that's often used in the Old Testament to refer to God is that Jesus, God has compassion over you. And compassion actually means more like the love that a mother has for their child. So yeah, he's a father, but he loves you like a mother. But he loves in a way that's different from an earthly father. He loves you as a creator and as someone who made you and someone who's proud of you as if he birthed you himself. And then the next one, what are we praying about? So in church, we often use big words like gratitude and lament. Crazy words, anyone heard of them? Lament is a big word. So I'd encourage you to do those two things. I mean, most of you won't know what lament is. Lament is literally bringing to God what you're struggling with. Hey God, I'm struggling with this. Hey God, this is why I'm feeling pain. Bring into him your grief, your heartache, your problems, your stress, your maybe envy or vengeance, whatever you're feeling, literally bringing it to God. And then gratitude, just thanking him for what's going on in your life. So where are we at? Gratitude and lament, being thankful and talking to God about the hard things in your life. And we can see both these things throughout the Bible. The Psalms, they're pre-written prayers, essentially, the Psalms. And they are full of lament towards God. Like, just, here's all my anger, all my pain, there you go. And so they're right, the Psalms are right in the middle of the Bible. This is like a guidebook, right in the middle of the Bible, of this is how you can pray, just telling God all of your pain. And so I encourage you to give God some time in your life, to let him work in your life in a way that only he can. But I invite you to start tonight. We're going to pray in a minute. And I really encourage you, I'm going to ask you to pray with the people around you, which is quite scary and daunting. But I really encourage you to get in groups, I'm talking 2s, 3s, just with the people around you in a minute, not yet, and pray with them. Chat to them about what you're struggling with. You don't even need to say anything. If you don't want to share with them, that's fine. I'm sure they'll pray for you anyway. And guidance in that, pray for where they're at in school, family, faith. If you've got something that you don't really want to share with people around you, there are people with lanyards everywhere. They are all over. Ask them to pray with you. But also, I want you to remember going forward from this that prayers, the Psalms, they are pre-written prayers for you, reading them and praying them. Worship. worship songs are pre-written prayers. You can pray as you, you can pray the worship songs. That's, I can't remember who, but someone's like, singing is like praying twice. It's, you are praying the song, because a worship song is a pre-written prayer. And again, in the Bible, the Lord's Prayer is a perfectly great prayer. Jesus gave it to us. We can pray that. So yeah, I want to encourage you all this evening to pray with your friends around you, just twos or threes, about what you're struggling with, about school, about friendships. I've told you my friendship ride was not easy, but I've got great friends at university and mostly at church here and at uni. But yeah, I want you to pray with the people around you so that in when you're struggling, maybe you're doing great right now, but when you're struggling with friendships or with whatever you might be struggling with, you feel like you can approach the people you've prayed with tonight and ask them, say, look, I'm struggling with this. Can you pray for me? So I know it might be daunting, but I want you to get into groups and pray with the people around you. Try and keep it quite tame. And if you're finished, done, maybe pray by yourself for a little bit. I'm sure there'll be worship later on and you can sing in that. There is worship later on. Dan gave me the nod. But yeah, I know it's scary and daunting, but I'd really, really encourage you to pray with the people around you. But yeah, ask a leader and get them involved if there's something that you don't think is you want to share. But yes, thank you very much. We have some.